This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio.
Many U.S. embassies will have a cultural attaché. Did you know some CEOs have them too? Brad Grossman was a cultural attaché for an entertainment industry tycoon. Grossman now takes his knack for sniffing out what's next and has just come out with a part book, part quarterly periodical called The Zeit Guide. Brad, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So listen, before we get to the zeitgeist of the moment,
okay,
you're a cultural attaché to a big shot in Hollywood?
I was. I was working for Brian Grazer, Academy and Emmy Award-winning producer, and also
What'd you do for him, a cultural attaché?
My job was to teach him anything that mattered to him, the world, and the world beyond him, and to bring in interesting people. My job was to be his liaison to the rest of the world to keep him culturally relevant and creatively prolific.
But it's your sense that other captains of industry may do this a little bit more ad hoc, but they certainly need the service.
I would say now it's more about the essential. Because the world is changing so quickly and every business is getting disrupted. So my job is to make sure that they know what they need to know and not only pick the topics that they need to know, which is all in the Zeit Guide, but also understand it and help them think through it. Because nobody really has time to read, distill, and think anymore. And that's what we're doing 24 hours a day.
So you know, right off the top of the new guide here for 2018, quarter one, is – the changing workplace. You think the employees should be first, not the customer is always first?
Well, right now, there's a big trend in terms of the conversations of starting with the customer and working backwards. In fact, that's Jeff Bezos' theory in terms of his success. It's all about favoring the customer
so
first.
So that's the conventional wisdom. And
right,
you're saying,
now,
wait, look past that.
Yes. There are more jobs available. So more jobs available means more competition for great employees. So it's very important that you appeal to them in a great, amazing way so that they choose your company as opposed to another company. Now, there are three other reasons that we've written about in the Zeit Guide that make sense for the employee experience going first. So that's number one. Second one is more about transparency. Because of social media and because of such websites like Glassdoor, which enable employees to rate their work experience, people will know if your work experience is bad and therefore they'll not apply to your company. The third thing or we'll go with one more. The last one is that I think young people, they're called millennials, but I hate generational generalizations.
Yeah, something else in the book is
right.
That you're not big on those
right.
broad generational categories.
Right. But basically they learned because it was hard for them to get a job after the stock market crash to live more frugally. And to them, buying a car or buying a house, which we see from Uber, Lyft, and Airbnb, is less important to them. To them, the experience matters most. So if they're spending days or hours in the workplace, it better be a great experience, or else they'll go to one that has.
All right, so Zeit Guide, 2018, quarter one. I should think of it less as a book and really more as a periodical, right?
A bookazine, let's call it.
A bookazine.
I have to say that this is the first time we're doing a quarterly, but the quarterly is more of an update, a briefing. Just kind of, we'll update the charts. We'll say, okay, this was the takeaway and all the topics that we discuss. The five chapters that are in the book are very broad. One is called Workplace Evolution. The second one is the digital paradox, which is all about digital transformation. The third is about today's consumer and how to know them, keep them, serve them, and you know, have them there with you from, people say, from womb to tomb. That's a very trendy phrase. And then the last chapter about global issues and how that's going to also shape your business perspective and your strategies. And then the last chapter we call hits and misses. What resonated in the culture and what did not?
Or what fell flat then? Give me one that fell flat.
I would say digital publications. So, you know, Mashable is an example of a company that got sold for like one-fifth its value. Whether it was Refinery29 or BuzzFeed or several other digital-first companies have had to lay off many of their staff because it's been really difficult for them to get the revenue that would require them to stay afloat, which is mainly advertising revenue. And most of that money is going to Google and Facebook, where it had been. We'll see what happens in the future. But you know, in the last year or so, I would say that it was the – they're the biggest flop or miss. The other things I would say is Snapchat, you know, which went public and, you know, that didn't really resonate. In fact, Facebook kind of just emulated what they did or simulated what they did as well. Blue Apron, you know, also a company that went
public. The ingredients for a meal in a box company.
Right. And, you know, Amazon's probably going to take over that business and other, you know, grocery first companies. No tipping is an interesting thing. Last year, the trend was about how David Chang and Danny Meyer.
Yeah, the famous restaurateurs, yeah.
Yeah. But most of them, except for Danny Meyer, are going away from that because talk about customer experience and employee experience, they're not motivated as much to get the higher tip that they usually did, and they're jumping ship and going to restaurants that do have tipping.
That's interesting. Again, an employee issue. Now, of course, watch that space because the Labor Department is considering new rules that would allow the tips to be collected centrally, and the boss could skim off the top of the tips under this plan, according to critics. So we'll see what the future of tipping is.
Another interesting thing that's in the book when we talk about the Me Too movement and the harassment issue is what's happening in the restaurant industry. If you know, the most incidences of harassment happen in the restaurant industry. And there's been a study that there's six states that require servers to make minimum wage in addition to getting tips, and harassment cases have gone down 50%.
Now, listen, I mean, you're thinking a lot about the zeitgeist, quarter one, 2018. It has to be the crypto craze as well. I mean, you mentioned in the book, cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin et al. Is this something that you will not be mentioning in quarter two because it's all gone by then?
No, of course it's going to be a conversation that's going to continue. But you got to strip the conversation away from what Bitcoin is and talk about the technology that enables Bitcoin to happen, which is blockchain.
Yeah, that's the irreversible accounting ledger that underlies Bitcoin and other of these digital currencies.
Yes, but anything of value. So this could be a great thing for musicians or even artists who have been screwed for with digital technology. I mean, look at Napster.
Are you talking about tracking their digital royalties and rights?
Exactly. From the start to the finish. An artist, let's just say, they make a $1 million painting, right? Then it gets sold to somebody. They know who that person is. The gallery knows who that person is. But it could be sold at auction. And the artist doesn't get a piece of that. Now the artist could demand a piece as the value of the art keeps going higher and higher and higher. And you could record it through a digital ledger, which is the blockchain. So, same with music, like you were saying.
So same with music. So people who are obsessed with the daily ups and downs of, say, Bitcoin are missing the bigger picture.
Yeah. It's about blockchain. It's not about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a currency, and currencies always go up and they always go down. Now, I'm not saying that people who invested in Bitcoin are going to continue to be gazillionaires. That's a great thing.
But Brad, the Zeitgeist is inviting us on this topic to reflect on a world where someone's intellectual property can be more closely attached to them as it moves forward, that one of your creation doesn't just leave your hands because this technology would allow your fingerprints to stay with it forever.
Totally. It gets tracked from the person who gave birth to their baby and see that baby grow up all the way till the end of time.
Brad Grossman, Zeitgeist Guide, your guide to knowing what matters in our constantly changing cultural and business landscape. Thank you.
Thank you, David. This was fun.